We are going to look at the whole of this chapter, Genesis chapter 41, in our meditation tonight, covering as it does the establishing of Joseph in that place of authority, second only to Pharaoh, to deal with the famine that was to come. If there's one verse that perhaps we could take to focus our thoughts on, and it's truly the essence of the chapter, it's verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." It's such a long chapter, but how can we get some kind of a handle on what it says, and how can we take lessons and applications out of it for ourselves? And what I'm suggesting to you is that we have one theme, at least I'm going to take but one theme out of this whole chapter. It's all a question of timing. That's the theme I'm suggesting for this chapter. A question of timing. And we start right at the very beginning with the time marker. 2 years after the experiences that Joseph had with the butler and the baker. 2 years when the butler had been set free. Silence followed. We saw last time the way in which hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it was a testing time for Joseph because he showed his humanity and what he was experiencing there. And we're going to look at it more fully maybe tonight. But he showed something of his humanity when he said to the butler, "Now look, remember me to Pharaoh. When you get out, remember me and get me out of this place." His hopes were raised through the butler, but nothing came of it. And we know that hope deferred makes the heart sick. There was a real pain to Joseph in being forgotten. A pain in being ignored and bypassed. That same humanity we see coming out with David. Just to give one reference, in Psalm 13, that psalm which is often called the How Long Psalm. How long, Lord? How long, Lord? How long? The very words that you could easily put onto the lips of Joseph. And they would represent the same thing. Job says it also in chapter 7 and 3. Chapter 10 and 1. The butler had forgotten him. But had God forgotten him? And these 2 years from chapter 40 to 41, there were years when Joseph learned a simple lesson to wait upon the Lord. He had been taught it, but now he had to put it into practice day after day, week after week, year following year. It was a familiar lesson that was repeated for him until it got right deep inside his character and his life. Wait, wait upon the Lord. But when we come into chapter 41, school is over. The bell is rung and classes are out. It's now a time for change. And how was that change brought about for Joseph? Was it a sudden and surprising way? Yes. But it wasn't through a political upheaval and a palace coup. It wasn't through any international unrest and the neighboring countries threatening Egypt. It wasn't as if there was some deliverer rose up from the tribes and the family that he had left behind and came to rescue Joseph. No. The change came about in the quietest way possible. Pharaoh slept. And Pharaoh dreamed. That's the way God worked. To change the circumstances and to elevate his man to a place of influence in Egypt. We've been looking at this whole life, particularly with this in our minds of the mystery of providence. Well, truly we see something amazing, majestic, as well as mysterious, in the way in which the Lord worked this last chain, this last link, rather, in the chain of providence. Pharaoh sleeping. It's all a question of timing, then. That's what I want us to think of. And that's quite obvious, because if the lesson that Pharaoh, if the lesson that Joseph was going to get told of was waiting upon God, if that's what he had to do, waiting upon God, then the way that is solved and broken and overcome and developed, whichever way you want to look at it, if you're waiting for something, the answer is in the timing. And so it was for Joseph. He was aware of some divine purpose interwoven into his life. He saw something of the theme of what his life was to ultimately achieve in these two dreams when he was 17 years old. He didn't understand all the details, but he was taught to wait. And now, when Pharaoh had a dream, his waiting was over. A question of timing. Pharaoh had a dream. Two dreams. Two sets of cows and two sets of corn heads. Dreams were an industry in Egypt in these days. They were very frequent. There were plenty of magicians and astrologers and such learned wise men, so-called, who were on hand there to interpret the dreams of those who had them. But here there was total failure. They all tried, and nobody could tell Pharaoh what his dreams meant. Perhaps it's the gift of hindsight, but when we read these things, surely we can see that there's prosperity somewhere in there amongst these dreams. Because after all, you had five fat symbols and representations. You had the cows coming out of the River Nile, and the River Nile was the backbone of the industry. No, it was the backbone of the agriculture for the land, because every year when the Nile flooded, it carried that silt out onto the banks of the Nile, and that fertilized the banks and the fields, and it gave rise to a rich agriculture in the land. And these cattle came out of the river and they grazed upon the lush grass that was growing by the river bank. Yes, we can see something perhaps of prosperity there, but they didn't. There wasn't even a suggestion at the time. But then the butler remembered. And perhaps we can see why he forgot up till now. Perhaps we can see why it was a question of timing. Why did he forget Joseph back in prison for these 2 years? Why? Well, if the butler had told the dream that he had, there may just have been a key there to understand Pharaoh's dream. Remember what the dream of the butler was. Three branches representing 3 days. And with that kind of a key, if it had been told when he came out of prison, then Pharaoh just now, with his dream, might have thought, well, if three branches represent 3 days, I wonder what seven represents. If it's famine, it certainly won't be days. Possibly not even weeks, it might be months, possibly it could be years. And so there was the possibility of them getting to the understanding of that dream if the butler had told it. But he didn't. And we can understand why he didn't just now. And anyway, If it had happened like that, if it had been told, then where would Joseph be now? Joseph could well have been taken out of prison. He might have been released, but he certainly would not have been on the throne. He might well have been mixing with the wise men of the courts of Egypt. But there would have not been that recognition that what he was saying came from God. There wouldn't have been the contrast between what he said and what the magicians were saying. And the whole effect of this scene that we have in this chapter would have been lost totally. We can look back. Our Lord tells us in John 13:7, he tells us, look back, and when you look back, you can understand why things happened the way they did. We can look back, and then we can understand. And here is Joseph looking back and perhaps wondering what God had been doing for these 2 years. Now he had light. He was being prepared. But also the wider picture was being prepared as well. There was now a face-off set up between Joseph on the one hand and all of these magicians on the other. There was going to be a face-off to show exactly who possessed wisdom and who could give an interpretation of the dream. Comparisons were made between them and him. And when the comparisons were made, reputations were established. They were bankrupt. He was enabled to give the meaning. Waiting, waiting, waiting. 2 years. It's a question of timing. So that everything was ready and in place. We can sometimes ask the question, why is there a delay? Why is it that nothing is happening that we're involved in? Why is there no delay? Because perhaps other people and other places and other circumstances have to be developed so that when the timing is perfect for all, then the last piece of the jigsaw is put in place by God. Pharaoh had a dream. It's all a question of timing. When everything was right, the timing was perfect, the waiting was over, and now we have the promises and the timetable of heaven about to unroll and unfold. A question of timing involving Pharaoh. But there was a question of timing involving someone else, the butler. He remembered suddenly when there was a commotion in the palace one morning. For him, when he came out of prison, normal service had been resumed. He was busy with family life, with social life, with palace life. He had thrown himself in to the job that he had thought he would never have back again. He forgot totally how he was released. But as events developed that morning, he remembered a question of timing. And the summons went out. And they went out, it says here, hastily. But we can quite legitimately say the guards were marking double time. Everything was done at a sprint, at the run. It was double time on the orders of Pharaoh to get this man out of prison and into the palace to do what the butler said he would do. Here was Joseph, having a hard and a heavy time in prison. Here he was, fighting against a false accusation, fighting against loneliness and homesickness, fighting against fears and doubts. Despite all the dreams that he had, perhaps even the dreams that he had only intensified these feelings that he had. Long ago, long ago, he had given up thinking of the butler was going to do him any good. It had all passed by him. And then one day, without intimating that anything special was in prospect in that day, one day the door opened and he was called, and life was never the same after that. The butler remembered. A question of timing. But what did Joseph do when he came out? He stopped and he had to prepare himself. Again, a question of timing. We hear one man, Mephibosheth, when David had to evacuate from Jerusalem. We are told that Mephibosheth didn't trim his nails, didn't wash his hair, didn't shave his face. He stayed that way because he was sad and downcast because David had to run. And we can imagine something like that happening to Joseph. We say it today, he lets himself go. He's not as careful about himself, perhaps, as he once was. That's what Joseph maybe was doing or had done to himself. He let himself go. And here he is, called now before the king. And what is it? It's a time to prepare. It's a question of timing again coming out. He was called before the king. He wasn't going to go before Pharaoh any old way. He got ready. Yes, the guards were there breathing down his neck. The guards were there doing things at the double. But for Pharaoh, Joseph was going to prepare. Dress is important. Some people tell us today that the way I dress and we dress, some people will say to us, but that puts people off coming to church. Let's take our marker, not what people say, but let's take as our marker what heaven says. We demonstrate as we dress, as we do, that nothing but the best for our God and our Lord. Nothing but the best. That's what Joseph was doing when he got changed and shaved and washed, ready to go in before Pharaoh. He didn't go in just as he came out of this prison cell. That would have been insulting to the majesty of the Pharaoh. But when we come and we make a statement. We make a statement about our Lord, who has done the best for us, who has done the very best for us, and nothing but the very best will do for him as we come before him. We prepare. We take as our marker, not what people round about us are saying and doing, but we take as our marker our reference to God. We prepare physically as well as preparing spiritually to come before the king. A question of timing. He took time out to get ready. Joseph had no warning whatsoever of what this meeting or the discussion or the agenda was going to be about. He didn't have any indication of what was involved when he went into the courts of the palace. He was thrown in at the deep end. And Pharaoh immediately confronted him. No preliminaries, but straight in. I've had a dream. Tell me what it means. Timing. Here we have then a crucial moment in the history of Joseph. A crucial moment in the history of the nation. It's a question of timing. What's going to be said in the next few seconds is going to make a huge difference to so many people. He spoke. He didn't hesitate. He didn't hold back any doubts. He didn't speak with any stuttering, stammering, or shame in what he said. He wasn't intimidated by the company he was in or the people round about him and all of the blank faces of the astronomers and the magicians. They couldn't do anything, and here was a Hebrew coming amongst them doing their job that they couldn't do. Joseph wasn't fazed by any of it. He spoke plainly and clearly. That's why we've taken verse 16 as a text for our meditation tonight. It's not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We pass over it tonight. Let me just simply drop the reference for you. What Joseph says here in verse 16 is taken up in Daniel chapter 2, 27 and extended out over several verses, but it's essentially the same. God is the one who can give the meaning in dream that you've got. And the focus is on the Lord by Joseph. And there we have another simple lesson for ourselves, surely. When our hearts are full, when our hearts are full and our lives bask in the presence of the Lord with us, as Joseph did. Remember what was discovered in the previous chapters, and the Lord was with him in prison. It was a blessed time, even though circumstances were against him, but it was a blessed spiritual time to Joseph. He was in prison and the Lord was with him. His heart was full. And it's an easy thing. It's an easy thing then to speak when the heart is full. He was aware of the presence of the Lord in the dark corners of his life. He was aware of the protection of the purpose of the Lord. And so he spoke clearly, simply, without any reserve, without any qualification. It just came out spontaneously. The warmth of heaven, the breath and the breeze upon his soul. The Lord had been at work in him, teaching him to wait. Yes, the Lord had been at work in him, removing some elements and strands of pride. All that was now left behind in prison. Here is Joseph speaking, commending the Lord, focusing on the Lord. No attention drawn to himself. Remember the way we said it last week. Here is Joseph. The butler has said he can interpret dreams, and when he came before Pharaoh, he could have said, yes, I'm your man. I'm the one with the monopoly of understanding. I'm the one that will give you the meaning. Ask me, and I'll tell you. No. There was no such pride in Joseph just now. All that had been burnt out for 2 years in prison. He was now depending, waiting, rely on the Lord. 2 years. A question of timing. But we move on. And we see again the question of timing in his promotion in Egypt. He didn't attract attention to himself. He focused on the Lord. And now he's going to tell Pharaoh what the Lord says to him and what Pharaoh has to do. The flooding of the Nile maintained the 7 years of plenty. It was going to be such a consistent harvest that there wasn't going to be a blank year at all in these 7 years, and they were going to be bumper harvests. It was going to go beyond normal. It was going to be extensive through all the nations. Behold, it says verse 29, there cometh 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And again, it says in verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering. There was so much he stopped counting. That's how bountiful the blessing was. And it was going to be stored over a long time. You think of storing grain and all these things for 7 years. It wasn't going to rot. It wasn't going to perish. It was going to be protected for these 7 years of famine to come. And the famine was going to be so severe that the good of the past 7 years was going to be utterly forgotten. And so, Joseph says, start making plans now and getting it into storage. Joseph not only gave the meaning of the dream, but Joseph also gave the approach to put it into practice. Pharaoh hadn't thought about it, but he had to take remedial action. Perhaps there were many in Egypt, if they were left to themselves, well, 7 years of bumper harvests, we can make a killing now. Let's sell it, and sell it, and sell it. There we have it, year after year, the crops are great. Let's just sell it for short-term profit. That's the way the entrepreneurs of the day would have looked at it. But that's not the way Joseph guided. He says, take the long-term view. Take remedial action. Surely we can, before we go further, we can see here an application of the gospel to ourselves. The gospel tells us about our danger that we're in, the same as Joseph told of the danger that was coming. And Joseph told Pharaoh what to do. And the gospel tells us not only of the danger, but it also tells us what we've got to do. And we've got to use well the providences of these privileges God gives us, the same as Joseph would tell Pharaoh, look, the providences of these 7 years of plenty, use them well, take remedial action, store it up, get ready for what's coming. The providences of ourselves that God gives us in hearing the gospel from week to week. Well then, a question of timing. Get that in place, he says. Get a minister of food appointed. 7 years might be a long time and people might laugh at it, but it's God's warning and revelation, providing for a time of need. The gospel tells us to provide for our time of need, our eternity. To make plans now that reach out to them. A special person is needed. He's not thinking about himself. He's not thinking about himself as he speaks to Pharaoh. Remember, he had no warning of what the discussion was going to take. He had no warning of what was going to be said. He was simply giving it as the Spirit guided him. He was giving the meaning to Pharaoh. He spoke about the problem with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh immediately turns and says, the person standing before me is the person who's going to solve this problem for us. A question of timing. He was given this huge responsibility. And again, surely we can see something of a scripture application once more. They that honor me, I will honor them. Here is Joseph. He took a consistent Christian stance in everything. He didn't compromise. He didn't flinch. He didn't give in. Even although it meant suffering in prison. Taking the dates we're given to us here, the experience of Joseph was 13 years. 13 years from the time, 17-year-old, he went off until he came in verse 46 and was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. 13 years through the mill and the grind of prison accusations and such like. But now he was being promoted. It cost him a lot of the time, but those that honour me, I will honour them. And he was placed second in command in Egypt. It wasn't a warning to Joseph. That's not what Pharaoh meant when he said this, that you're second only to me in the throne. What he's saying is for the benefit of others. Remember that Joseph is a stranger amongst them. He's not Egyptian. And every one of them would have been asking, well, are we going to obey what this man's saying? And here is Pharaoh laying it out clearly for them. You obey him. He is second in command to me. What else can we say? When the time comes, when the question of timing is answered, when the time comes that the Lord has appointed, events begin to move fast. This is him going through his second change of clothing in one day. He changed his clothes when he came out of prison, and now when Pharaoh's elevated him, he takes again another garment change and he puts more clothes on him, the ring on his finger. He's changing quickly. A reversal of great circumstances for this man. The same is true of us. There's going to be a day coming when the question of timing will be fulfilled and Christ will return. And then there will be a change quickly taking place, when those who are the Lord's will be clothed and made ready and perfect in righteousness to be with the Lord. That last great day. A question of timing. Are we ready? Joseph being promoted in Egypt. But then there's one last area I want to look at with this question of timing in our minds. And I want us to think of the extended family that he had. We're told that he's given a new name. He's given a wife. And he there had two boys. And again, notice the question of timing, because they were born before the famine struck the land. Two of them. The first one was called Manasseh. The name Manasseh means, God made me forget. And in the naming of that first son that he had, Joseph is telling us something about himself. He tells through the name Manasseh about the pain and the hurt and the sorrow that he had. The things that he kept to himself for 13 years in prison. The silence, the patience, the nobility, refusing to compromise in anything that was put his way at a fearful cost to him. But now, the timing of the Lord in healing the pain in Joseph. The timing of a little baby. God can make us forget the hurt in our lives with the comfort that he sends. God brought all the events into the life of Joseph. And they were there for a purpose. But now that they achieved what God intended, they were going to be removed. And the care of God for Joseph to heal him, to correct him, to restore him. God works in every one of us, molding us, correcting us in different ways. And if heat and fire is required, as Malachi sometimes tells us, if God requires the fires of affliction, God nevertheless keeps his eye on the clock and also on the thermometer. And we are never left in the fire a moment longer or heated up a degree higher. The marvelous ways in which God comforts his people. The timing of it. The birth of a baby boy.
The child didn't know what he was achieving. The child didn't know what he was doing when he was there with his father and with his dad all these years. We can help others. We might not know what we're doing ourselves. Just simply being company to others. The words that we might speak with others. The sympathy that we have, the stance that we've taken, just simply people not being alone because they know someone else is believing and standing in the same way as they are when we go and join with them. These and many, many other ways we can be like Manasseh was to Joseph, curing him, making him forget the pain that he'd been through. And not only was there Manasseh, there was also Ephraim. Ephraim, again, the name brings testimony to the fruitfulness of Joseph in a land of affliction. We're told there in verse 49 of the way in which he was so successful he just gave up counting. What a quick and dramatic turnabout there was with Joseph. And he could trace it all back to the goodness of the Lord dealing with him. God is healing me. And God is blessing me. Can we read our lives with that same approach? Can we look at our lives with that same understanding? Remember the way in which Job combines these two names together, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were born before the famine came. The clouds were now coming on the horizon. We've almost finished. Just 2 minutes. Joseph knew that all of these 13 years of preparation were now coming into effect. It was a heavy load that he was now going to carry. The responsibility of governance in Egypt through famine. He didn't ask the load be lightened. But he asked that his back would be stronger to carry it. He could look back. Question of timing. He could look back and he could see things much, much more clearly now. And he could turn around and he could face the next 7 and 14 years with the utter conviction, this is where my God wants me to be. This is what my God wants me to do. Here I am at the center of his purposes for me. The links in the chain of providence bringing him to this crucial moment in his life. All a question of timing. There can be run of misfortunes for ourselves that cast us down in our own lives. We can be discouraged when life's trials come upon us. We can be discouraged from a human angle. But Joseph tells us what we should do. Joseph tells us that we've got to look up, wait upon the Lord, trust in him. There is, like he says, David himself says in Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of this man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The perfect timing of the Lord that is seen so clearly in the life of Joseph is the same perfect timing that God has and applies to you and to me. The timing and the wisdom and the grace of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. O Lord our God, enable us to lay hold of the teaching we glean from thy word, that we may be able the better to understand other areas of it, but also be equipped to understand our lives also, so that we make sense of thy dealings with us, and that we are able to embrace where we are and what we've got to do, not as something that's fallen upon us in any kind of random way, but that we are where we are with the responsibility that we have through the perfect timing of our God. And so, Lord, may we look to thyself for all that is needful and necessary, that when circumstances fall upon us, we may, like Joseph, glorify thy name and depend upon thee to do all things well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 36 and at verse 5. Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens, thy truth doth reach the clouds. Thy justice is like mountains great, thy judgments deep as lands. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy grace! Therefore in shadow of thy wings men's sons their trust shall place. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink to them provide. Because of life the fountain pure remains alone with thee. And in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see.